Welcome to Teaching Writing, a podcast about teaching writing, ideas, and strategies. My name is Roger Graves. I'm the Associate Director of the Center for Teaching and Learning, Director of Writing Across the Curriculum, and a Professor in English and Film Studies here at the University of Alberta. Today's podcast is about working with graduate student writing, and I suppose I might even have called that working with graduate student writers. Here are three aphorisms to live by or things to think about as you try to think about how to help grad students develop as writers. Number one, don't try to fix every problem in a draft at one time. Take on one thing at a time, maybe two or three things, but don't try to mark everything. Number two, responding to writing needs to be strategic, which means to say you need to have a point that you're trying to make, a particular kind of lesson you're trying to get them to learn at a time. And again, don't try to respond to everything all at once. A third point, create a learning pathway students follow so that they can grow as writers throughout their entire degree program. So when I think about working with grad student writers, what I'd ask you to do is to think about this one question. So what skills do students need in order to graduate from your program and write a good dissertation? It's hard to break that stuff down, but if you can identify those things, then it's going to be a lot easier to be able to tell whether or not they've gotten them, or perhaps how they might go about developing those skills. So ask yourself, what level of writing is a student at initially? So I would start with a diagnostic interview, then ask, what do they know that will help them write a dissertation? And more importantly, what don't they know? While working with several classes this year, graduate student classes, they came up with a survey. I created an online Google form. The link is on this slide, and I'll also put a PDF up, and where you can kind of see the kinds of questions I think grad students should be asking themselves about what their resources are and what their capabilities are at the start of the degree, and then use this as a kind of a roadmap to figure out where do I need to go. Once you've got that diagnostic test or that diagnostic sample of writing, and you've taken a look at it and you've kind of figured out where the student is now, the next thing I'd ask you to do is to figure out whether or not you can identify a particular genre, such as a research article, that you want students or that students need to master in order to graduate. Then I'd like you to get a couple of examples of that. Maybe these are articles you've published yourself, and then take those articles and annotate them. I often use Adobe Acrobat to do this, but you could do it in Google Docs, you could do it in Microsoft Word. In these annotated samples, where you're pointing out to them how these documents are working, that's really, really important for their learning. So really what we're doing here is we're working with a model of apprenticeship. You start with what's called limited peripheral participation, such as finding research to contribute to a poster or a paper where the supervisor is the main author. Students then progress, and you require them to run experiments or write entire sections of manuscripts. And then at the next stage, you guide students to initiate their own projects and manuscripts. So as they work their way through those stages, they're going through a kind of an apprentice model where they're learning more and more and doing more and more. I think it's important that supervisors articulate to themselves the entire learning process for grad student writers in their program. Because once you've done that, you'll be able to figure out where is this student in this learning model, this learning roadmap, and then how do they get to that next step. So when do you introduce models of good writing? How do students learn what makes those models good? Because that's the key thing you've got to add to that. And then how do you convey the criteria for good work? How do you know it's good when you see it? Because they don't have that yet. So you've got to add that. So if step one is getting prepared, step two is having the students learn how to critique the literature. So they need to learn to read the scholarship, identify what is a gap in knowledge, and then number three, connect ideas from other readings to the reading that they're currently working with. I've seen this done really, really well in grad classes where instructors would ask students to do critiques of the literature, and they would kind of guide them in this process. So step three then really is teaching them to read as a researcher, read as a writer. That's what those classroom exercises were doing. So you want the student to participate in writing articles through an apprentice model, and it's good to do that at the end of courses or as a member of a research group. The supervisor's role is to coach the student on the career path, And the method is to have them co-author presentations, co-author grants, co-author conference papers. Now, in a grad student program, there's really two ways of going about writing a dissertation, typically these days. One is to write a monograph, the traditional way, where students explicitly study the genre. They create a conception of the work, which is a proposal, and then they articulate the workflow of the project, which is the plan for writing that monograph dissertation. The other one is the publication thesis, where students study the research article genre. They read past research dissertations to identify the apparatus between chapters and how it functions and what those parts are. At this point, the student is working as a full participant. They're the first author, they manage the project, and that may happen alongside the dissertation or it could be as part of it. So the big question we have to ask ourselves is, where and when in your degree program do students learn the skills needed to write a dissertation? In theory, students have built skills as writers at the undergraduate level. They've built on those skills and added to them at the master's level. And then finally, at the PhD level, they add even more levels of complexity and ability to deal with ambiguous ideas. Well, as we all know, they may or may not be at those levels. Some may be at those levels, some others may not be, and so on. One of the things you have to create is a kind of a learning plan. An option to do that is to create a writing course in your program. We have several examples of this at the University of Alberta at the graduate level, the PhD level. You can adopt assignments in courses that build summarizing and critical thinking skills. So that's another tactic you could take as a group. You can schedule thesis proposals to incorporate formative feedback. So they do the proposal, but then they make changes to it based on the kind of feedback that they get. You can create social groups. So those can be research groups, journal clubs, or dissertation groups that encourage the development of these skills. And you can direct students to on-campus and also on the web resources that can help them with their graduate student writing specifically. On the Google form that I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast, I list half a dozen resources that you might want to direct your own grad students to. That'll show them where they can go to get that kind of help. Here's a specific tactic that you can use with, and the thing to do is to define the target genre. Now, often this is the research article because that's the core of so much of what we do. So you want to build student understanding of that genre, or we sometimes call it a target text that they are writing. Identify a limited set of example texts. Maybe these are finished dissertation chapters. Maybe these are sample published articles. Then work with groups of grad students to identify the essential features of these texts. So how are they organized? The argument, how is it structured within it? The role of visuals, what is the purpose of the visuals? What are they doing there? And then what you want to do is check their understanding, the student's understanding, with your understanding so that there's a commonality of understandings around this thing. Then either do what we were suggesting earlier, which was to create a model text and annotate it, or create a summary sheet or a page listing those key features. And what you're trying to do here is build what's called genre knowledge. The next specific tactic I would advocate is to adopt a process approach to writing. So think about what writing process works for you. I know this from working with engineering faculty, that some engineering faculty, I'm thinking of chemical engineers particularly, they've got a specific kind of way they go about creating a research article that flows from their tables of information. Next, consider what writing processes work for the particular student you're thinking about working with here. So what writing processes tend to be followed in your discipline? Like, do you start with free writing or do you start with tables of data? And then for this particular student, what do you think is going to work? How do they work? And then decide how you're going to proceed and then create the milestones for that process. The third specific tactic that I would advocate is to adopt a team plus apprenticeship approach. So form groups of students, either by supervisor or field, or perhaps at the program level. Insist that students provide feedback on the drafts of other students. This helps establish what the norms are through the reading and the discussion of sample texts. Decide what kinds of feedback peers can provide. So what are they able to do? And then decide what kinds of feedback it's really you who has to provide. They don't have the background knowledge or the expertise to make those kinds of comments. But they can make some comments depending on where they are in the program. And you want to take advantage of that ability. There's a really key reason for that, though, and that is that by them making those comments, they're learning what they need to do. And it's by making the comments that they do the learning, which enables them to do it on their own. And all of that means that all of that activity can happen without you specifically teaching it, but more by you setting up this group process. The last specific tactic I would advocate you adopt is what's called a levels of edit approach. This was developed in the Jet Propulsion Labs in the 1970s. And really what it amounts to is this: separating out the different ways in which you're going to review a document according to different characteristics. So one time you would review the document only for, say, the visuals, and looking at the captions for all the visuals and making sure they're all done in the right way. Another time you look at it would be for copy clarification, where you're looking at the mathematical symbols, you're looking at the typography and making sure it's all consistent and done right. If you adopt this levels of edit approach, so each time through the document you look at just one kind of thing, then you're going to be much more accurate and much more thorough in your evaluation, and that's going to speed you up. Well, the last thing I'm going to talk to you about is something that's still in its, we're still studying, still trying to see if it really works. We bought subscriptions to the grammar program called Grammarly and gave that to 80 plus graduate students to use for a year. We don't have all the results in yet, but we do know that students did use it regularly. At any one time, we had somewhere around 20 to 40 users on any specific day of the year. In fact, there were only 6 days in the year when it wasn't used. All in all, something in excess of 36 million words were looked at, and about 60,000 different errors were flagged. And the reason I would suggest this to you is that one of the things it would do is it takes the irritating part of surface grammar errors off your editing checklist. It automates that and makes it a different kind of activity, and it makes a student responsible for it. That should save you some time. It should help them learn what their errors are, the ones that they keep making, and perhaps how they can avoid making those errors in the future. Well, thanks for listening. Again, my name is Roger Graves. I'm at the University of Alberta, the Director of Writing Across the Curriculum. To reach me, you can email me at roger.graves@ualberta.ca. And I'd love to hear your reactions or any other questions you might have about helping graduate students learn to write better. Thanks.